G'mon Yerav Oisai, our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef Dov ben Chayla, hishtav refuah shleima b'kor b'soshal chayli Yisrael. So continuing our discussion about Chodosh, we've been through all the reasons, or not all the reasons, but most of the reasons, why there were poskim who were mekel in the inyan of Chodosh, ad kedei kach, that it became a shitta. So you've got a Stechemet who writes, yeah, you've got here,
it's just me.
What? No. We said yesterday that it was the Vilna Gaon who held that the Bach made a mistake, and the others would say, yes, but maybe the Vilna Gaon made a mistake in thinking that the Bach made a mistake, and they compared him to Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who didn't always get it right. Yeah, he got it right, but we don't know his Paschal like that. Yeah, but
The Bach was a Reuven Bels.
Right, but the Stechemet.
The Bach was Reuven Bels.
Bach was Reuven Bels, exactly. So the
you
Bels.
Asked yesterday where the Bach lived. I imagine at some point in time.
Uh huh. Well, we're talking about Ukraine. We're talking about Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And the Bach. The Bach held that Chodosh is not knowing there.
Yes.
And the Stechemet wrote as follows. The Stechemet was a Sfardisher Godoil. He lived. He died in 1904. He was born in Yerushalayim, he died in Hebron, but for 30 years he was the Rov in Crimea. That was before it was invaded by Putin. Yeah? And he wrote Sefer Stechemet, and he writes there as follows. He says that he brings down a list of other poskim besides the Bach who held that Chodosh should not be noig bisman hazeh in Chutz La'aretz. And he writes there, Shezeh minhag hakadmoinim sha'ichlin v'shoisin sheichor shel tvur chadosho. That it's the minig hakadmoinim, he says. It's already an established minig. It's become a minig not to do chodosh, right? In Chutz La'aretz, yeah? But to use the sheichor, which is made from hops, which is made from barley, which is chodosh, yeah? And he says, v'chein noho galmo, this is the custom of the olam, lehatir, it's become a minig, and therefore amongst the Hasidim, amongst the Eastern European Kehillahs, it was a minig that we are not makpid on Chodosh bisman hazeh in Chutz La'aretz.
Minig is an interesting term, because normally a minig has a...
Yeah, he says it's not by default.
English would be a
it's
custom.
Not by default that they failed to keep it, but it became the minig, it became a shitter, that we don't do it. He says, nevertheless, he says, and this is interesting, he says, nevertheless, we have to acknowledge the fact that there are poskim, right, of Roisham, the Rambam and the Rif, who held that Chodosh is noig bisman hazeh in Chutz La'aretz, and we are chayv to keep it. Therefore, he says, mikol mokoim, he brings down, mikol mokoim lematzos mitzvah, that when you're baking matzahs for the mitzvah of matzah, there, the matzah mitzvah that you're using on Seder night, even those who hold b'shitta, that there is a minig, that we don't do chodosh in Chutz La'aretz, but he says there's a suffix now, because maybe it's a mitzvah bo b'aveira, because there are rishonim who hold that chodosh is noig b'zman hazeh, even in non-Jewish produce, and even in Chutz La'aretz. And therefore he says, v'havalei mitzvah bo b'aveira, im loy b'sha'as hadchak, if it's a war zone, if there are situations where you cannot get any other flour, then you can use chodosh flour. But lechatchila, even those who have the minig not to do chodosh, yeah, like the Eastern Europeans, like the Hasidim, like those who hold like the Bach and all the other poskim that the Stechemet brought down, he says, unless you're desperate and you have no other possibility, you should try and use yoshon to bake matzos mitzvah. Good to know after Pesach. Just have to remember for next year.
Definitely. Start today the Turway, Northwest London. Thursday, Gimel Iyar, 1st of May. Rabbi Yeshua Biton Shlita. Sriya Sa'omer, a time-bound mitzvah or not? This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Hul, Lichvot Simchan Nesum of Chesky Hul, and Malki Neufeld, whose custom took place on Monday, he wrote in Shivna Bias Nemo Bisrael Shem Bisilo, Vishus, Hashwim, and Chayolim, Bamil Chomo, Sheyach Sru, Lavotem, Le Shalom, Bim Heiro.
So, it's the 18th day, so there's probably, I'm presuming, based on the topical theme that is on the poster. There's been a lot of talk about the Sefirot HaOmer and about the counting, etc. But I thought I'll try and focus on one point that is perhaps not so well known, or at least one point within the point that is not so well known, and we'll see that what that is in a moment. As a father of girls, and I have five daughters, and I grew up with four sisters and no brothers, so I always try and look at the girls aspect to the mitzvah, if there is one at all, in various mitzvahs, in particular in a Sephardi house where it's very clear, even with the mitzvahs, I say she'azman grama, where lulav or sukkah or whatever it may be, we not only do the women are not mechuyev in those mitzvahs. Generally, the Sephardi custom is that they won't even make a bracha on those mitzvahs. Presumably, because the issue with making a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvahs of a tzivanu, at least according to the Sephardi poskim, would be a personal tzivanu, as opposed to considering it a tzivanu of Am Yisrael, in which you would be able to include a woman in that. But the Sephardi poskim generally say no. The Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvahs of a tzivanu is a mitzvah which is personal, and since the woman is not tzivanu, because it's a mitzvah sasei as mangrama, she can't make the bracha. Funny enough, the Chida, when he talks about Ashkenazim that are married to Sfadim, this has been going on for a while, this Ashkenazim marrying Sfadim, and I say this, my wife is Sephardi actually, but she's from Zurich, so she was very, there was no Sephardi, there still is no Sephardi shul in Zurich, and a lot of the customs are being taught, one of them is this lack of brachas. And so I checked, and the Chida says that if they insist in making a bracha, because you know that's what they've been doing all their life, you're not moicha. You don't have to pick your shalom bayis battle somewhere else. Let it slide. And generally it's a good idea when it comes to her spirituality. If she wants to do something that is not gorim, not changing you, if she wants to make a bracha on the lulav, how does that really affect you? He says let it slide. Now, finally, the Chida, who's Moroccan, was born in Yerushalayim, his mother was Ashkenazi, so that's probably, probably definitely influenced somewhat his opinion on the fact that women would make a bracha on a mitzvah, a seisha as mangra. My grandmother, so my wife's father's mother, my wife's father got to Switzerland, as I said, he was Sephardi, he got there from Egypt in 1956, he was given his family, he was 10 months old, his family were given 3 days to leave, with the shirts on their back, and I was discussing with his mother, my grandmother-in-law, how it was to leave. And funnily enough, she was very insistent in letting me know that she wasn't kicked out because she was Jewish. She was kicked out because she was French. Because originally she had come from Syria, and her husband's side had come from Algeria, and they had settled in Cairo. And they after the Suez incident, they were settled. They were forced to leave because they were French. And so she was talking to me about the days of Cairo. Funny little story that, just an unassuming, she's an unassuming Sephardi lady that lives in Geneva, where there is a very big Sephardi presence. In fact, there's such a big Sephardi presence, there's barely an Ashkenazi presence. And I asked her if she was French and she got kicked out and she was a refugee, how did she end up in Geneva? Although they speak French there, it's Swiss. And she said the French looked after all the refugees because it was their fault. They started the problem at the Suez Canal, so they had to look after them. The problem was they decided how they're going to look after them. So she went with all her siblings-in-law, they got kicked out, and then when they got to France, they were given apartments, they were given places to live. And she gets her designated place, and it's some kfar, some backwater town in France. And she's looking at the map, and there's a very unassuming lady, very traditional Jew, but she sees there's no Talmud Torah. And she turns to her husband, she goes, there's no Talmud Torah, we can't accept. And she went and they lived in a one room in someone else's house. And as a result, they eventually made their way to Geneva. And Baruch Hashem, she has a lot of grandchildren who are learning today, whereas the brothers that stayed in the places that were given were unfortunately lost to the countryside. So she was telling me that she was growing up in Cairo. Shavuos was always a tricky one. Because in Cairo, there was a very big Karaite community. Now, the Karaites were the ones that sort of split off from traditional Judaism, and they decided, there was a bit of a broigers at the top there, and they decided they're only going to keep the Torah, Shebiksav, whatever their rules and regulations were, is for them to determine. But pretty much, if it says, don't stand on the blood of your brother, that means don't physically stand on the blood of your brother. Famously, they wouldn't have hot food on Shabbos. And they Shavuos was one of those things she said would come into play, that you'd have a community where they'd share the same school, because there wasn't enough of them to have an individual school, and you'd have people keeping Shavuos on different days. Why would you have people keeping Shavuos on different days? Because the Karaites, who they said Machos HaShabbos. Machos HaShabbos is the Shabbos after Pesach. They would start counting Sfira. So their 49 days, Tmimos, 50, would only be whenever in relation to when Shabbos was. Whereas we know it's always the second day of Pesach, and then we will go from there, 49 days, and we'll have Shavuos on the same day. Now, she did also make a point that although they were together in schools, that was about as far as the connections went. But that's interesting, that's based on the Pasuk, that you should count after Shabbos 49 days, 50 days, to me most complete days. If we look at the reasoning for the Sfiras HaOmer, so whether it's a Doraisa or the Rabbana today is a Machlokes. The Rambam seems to say, it's definitely not the main opinion, but he seems to say that it's a Mitzvah Saseh, Lisbo Shev Shabbat is Mimus, Biyoim Abbas HaOmer, Shneim, it's a Mitzvah Saseh, Shneim Asvatim Lechem Imochas HaShabbos, is a Pasuk that says you have to count from Imochas HaShabbos, and therefore, it's a mitzvah saseh, it's daraisa. The problem is that a lot of the poskim will hold that no, that seeing as there is a condition to this sfiras ha'omer. What's the condition? That it works from when to when? It works from from the beginning of the omer till the shtei alechem. And seeing as those two components, because we don't have the base of mikdash today, are not there, therefore, what do we have today? It's a bit like the korach, which is zeichel mikdash. It's only a remembrance, a reminder, a symbol of what was there before, and although it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but it's definitely not the d'oraisa. But the Rambam seems to disagree, and the Rambam seems to say there's two separate things going on here. One, we have the mitzvah of the omer, and we have the mitzvah of the shtei alechem, and then we have counting, and counting has is a d'oraisa within itself. Interestingly, when we talk about, we ask a child what Sfiras HaOmer is all about, and they'll say Lag BaOmer, and they'll say Rabbi Akiva, and they'll say all these things related to the no music and no cutting of the hair. But ultimately, that's just one thing that plays into the time that happens to overlap. But if you look deeper, obviously you'll see that the overlap. We believe that nothing is a coincidence, and if things happen in a certain time, it's because there is a strong connection between the two. But the actual counting says the Rambam is Doraisa, but others disagree. We look at the Rabbi Yosef Abu Darham in Spain, 13th century. He gives a few reasons. He says, firstly, that the time of Sfiras HaOmer was a time where people were quite individually busy in their fields. They were making sure that their crops were going to grow. They were making sure that there's enough tvur, there's enough food. And I don't know if any of you can imagine, when you're in the office sometimes, you get a little bit carried away. I had someone who reached out to me. He'd forgotten the Sfiras HaOmer. I asked him how come. He says he travels for business. And he can sometimes spend 2 days without seeing a Jew. It's the nature of his work. He's driving, he's busy, and you don't see a Jew, and you daven your ma'ariv by yourself, and you can forget to do Sfiras HaOmer. But here, funnily enough, it seems to be that the Sfiras HaOmer was, says Abu Darham, that they were worried that people are going to forget when you need to be Oyle Regel for Shavuos, because it's a time of the year that you're very busy with your business, and therefore if you have a counting at the end of each day, or the beginning of each day, you'll remember that Shavuos is coming nearer and nearer, and that's why we count the Sefira, and you're very good, and you'll make sure that you get to Har Sinai, you'll get to the Beis HaMikdash in time to give your to be Oyle Regel, or just know when Shavuos is. So that's his first reasoning. Second reasoning is that Lamaisa, it's a time of great trepidation, because we're worried about how our stocks are going to come out, right? We've made an investment, we've planted, we're now waiting for Shavuos till the grain is going to grow. And it's a pachad. So every day we take a moment and we count. And the counting in itself will bring us a bit of perspective. We'll think about it. We'll realize, okay, everything's from Hashem. And we'll start doing teshuva. We'll start working on ourselves, that hopefully our parnasa will go good. And he says, again, he puts in the bottom, you shouldn't think it's all about the money. He says, ultimately, what we're davening for is Torah, which is connected to Shavuos, but it happens to be through the Tvur. We know if we don't have Parnassah, then we can't have Torah. If we don't have Torah, then we don't have life. Game Chayenu. So his idea of counting, his second idea that he gives, is because it is a time that we want our Tvur to grow, and it's a good time to sit and think about what it is that we need to do in order to ensure that we have the kemach that we need. So The Rambam, and this is the most famous example given, seems to say that it's not so much about the tefuah and the things that are growing and the agriculture, but much more, if someone knows that he's going to go out of jail in 30 days, 40 days, 50 days, then he's counting. Sefer Chinuch seems to say the same thing, that you're counting, it's excitement, it's about to happen, you count upwards famously, right? You're excited, you're about to go and get the Torah. In particular, if you think about the fact that the whole of Pesach, the whole of Yetzias Mitzrayim is just one point. Dayenu, if you didn't get out, what's the point of that? You have to get to Har Sinai. And there's a very strong connection between the two, and therefore you're counting, you're excited, you get to get the Torah. There's a very interesting on the Rif. There's a run on the Rif in his introduction. I think Psachim. He says that he brings a medrash. He says it's a medrash al pi Agada, that when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu let them know that they're going to eventually get the Torah from Har Sinai. And it was something that they knew. It was something that they were aware of. And they started counting. Now, this is not brought down. This is a medrash. They started counting then. So says the Ram, based on that, there is a remembrance of that. The same way they counted to reach to Har Sinai, we count today to reach to Har Sinai. But whichever way it may be, those are reasons that are given. They're simonim, they're symbols of why it is that we do. And where did this pass? With women counting for Har Sinai. So I saw once a fantastic Dvar Torah, which I think is really going to put things into perspective when it comes to Har Sinai and it comes to women. When the Bnei Yisrael get through the Yam Suf, so Ashir Hashem Kigoy Ga'ah Sus Farach Ve'Rom Ve'Yom, they're busy singing Oz Yashir, and then at the end we get a Vatan Lahem Miriam. Miriam comes along and says Vatan Lahem. Now, if you look at the language of Atan Lahem, Atan is usually a taina, right? Lahem, it doesn't say Lahem for the women. It says Lahem, which is a male. She's coming for a taina for the men. She's coming to advocate for the men. I think it was Rabbi. I'm not exactly sure who said it, so I won't quote. But he says like this: Miriam had a bit of a problem. After she gets through the Yamsu, she turns around, and the men are all singing and dancing. And the women are a little, they're on the side, and they're like, why do we need to sing and dance? What's the whole tachlis and what's the whole tafkid of crossing the sea is to get to Har Sinai? What's the whole tachlis and what's the whole tafkid of getting to Har Sinai is to get the Torah? What's the whole tachlis and what's the whole tafkid to get the Torah is to learn Torah? What's a woman not mechuyav b'talmud Torah? So why should I sing and dance? Says Miriam, she analyzes the whole text of the Oz Yashir, right? And if you were to ask a computer, AI generate, can you please give me one line that summarizes the whole Oz Yashir? What does she come up with? Ashir el Hashem ki goy ga'ah, sus v'roch boi rama bayom. The horse and its rider went into the sea. There's many things I would pick from the machine, but from the whole Oz Yashir, but this seems to be a very interesting highlight that she picks. From all the things she's going to condense the whole Shira into, sus v'roch boi rama bayom. So if we look at the Shir HaShirim, it talks about the Sus Pare, right? He says that Kain Rayosi, that he compares his maidens should be as good as the Egyptian steeds, the Egyptian horses. What was so amazing? Why would you want your partner to be like the Egyptian horse? Because they were so connected, the rider and the horse, they were Pashat one. Who wins the race? Is it the driver or is it the Ferrari? Which one is it? Is it who's winning? Anyone who knows about sports or horse racing, something that I'm not too familiar with, will know that it's both. It's both, right? One can't function without the other, and if they work, the more united each one is, the more combined each one is, the more tied each one is, and literally the horse and the rider are tied together, strapped in together. They purely work as one complete entity, and they go into the sea. The rider following the sus, or the sus following the rider. No one's really sure who's doing the moving. In a Tesla, we know that it's the car that's doing the driving. But ultimately, in a horse and rider thing, who's pulling who? At some point, it becomes you know, something that can't be distinguished, and they're going in, and says the pasuk, Sus v'roch bay Rama bayom. Both of them received the punishment for chasing after Bnei Israel. Both of them. Both the Sus and the Rochboy were completely drowned. What do we see from here? When it comes to punishment, we take the enabler and the person doing it, both the supporter and the person, the driving force, or we don't even know who the driving force is, and we'll say we'll punish them equally. So too, she was telling Vatan Lahem, she was tinering to them, that don't say that you have nothing to gain, because ultimately, just like we see in Shir Shirim, a good partner is going to be like a sus of parah, he's going to be completely as one. If I'm getting the onesh, if the horse is getting the onesh for the averis of the Mitzrayim, Kol Shekain, a partner, a wife, will get the schar for the mitzvahs and the limud Torah of the husband. And therefore, there is a complete connection between the women and Har Sinai, that they're going to be the enablers, the supporters, and often the driving force into what enables the man to learn Torah. And therefore, they would be as excited leading up to Sfiras HaOmer. They'll be as excited. And let's say, according to the Rambam, where it's all about the excitement, not so much about the agriculture, then surely they will want to do Sfiras HaOmer. They want to count. And in fact, I think, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says Chei Nagel, although there is opinions, even within the Ashkenazim, that the women do not make a bracha, the women do make a bracha, even on Mitzvah Saseh Shazman's grammar, even on Mitzvah Saseh Shazman's grammar. However, the Sfiras HaOmer, there's a concern that perhaps it's purely something that is over such a long span of time that they may get mixed up. They may forget 50 days. It might be one big mitzvah, and then if you miss one, you've missed the mitzvah. Maybe not make a bracha. But ultimately, Nagu, that the women do make a bracha by Sfiras HaOmer, and this possibly is the reason, because they're as excited to reach
Har Sinai. Ladies do make.
Svadim don't make a bracha, and in fact, if we're
going,
no, the men make a bracha. The ladies don't make a bracha, and the ladies, according to Kabbalah, are not even without a bracha, shouldn't make. So in a average Sephardi household, the women are not, Sfiras HaOmer is a non-thing, unless they're at home Friday night or whatever it may be, and the husband will make Sfiras HaOmer, or if he comes in the morning breakfast and lets the people know what the Omer is. But in general, they're advised not to make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, so Lemaisa, if you look at it on...
Even without the bracha. They don't count without the bracha.
No, counting, not for them. So, but it's Alpi Kabbalah. But if we look at the mitzvah on face value, if I were to ask you, is Sfiras HaOmer mitzvah to say Shazman Grama, you think to yourself that there isn't a mitzvah that is more Zman Grama than Sfiras HaOmer, right? We're given the time. Between Pesach and Shavuos, you have to count. And the truth is, spoiler alert, that's really the case. However, there is one interesting Ramban that I found in Kiddushin, where we talk about the Sfiras HaOmer. It says, Kol mitzvah saseh shazman grama, Kiddushin lamed gimel amud beis, Tanu rabbanan, Eizi mitzvah saseh shazman grama, Sukkah, lulav, shofar, tzitzis, Tefillin, Eizi mitzvah saseh shazman grama, Mezuzah, Maka, Aveda, Shluch HaKam. And he goes on and lists what's Zman Grama and what's not Zman Grama. This is the Gemara and Kiddushin going from Lamed Gimel to Lamed Dalet. Says the Chidushe Rambam, Vayidua, he talks about this list not being a complete list. And he says there are things that are missing on either side, on the Zman Grama list and on the Loya Zman Grama list. And he goes and he says, what's the mitzvah say she'ena Zman Grama? What did they miss? It says Kibud Aba'im, Bikurim, Chala, Kisei Adam, Reshit HaGeiz, Matnas Gehuna, Sfiras HaOmer. So he puts the Rambam puts in to the list of what's a mitzvah say that is not a Zman Grama, he puts in Sfiras HaOmer. I was a little bit surprised when I saw this, and the truth is, I would never say this because obviously, who am I? But I found that in Divrei Malkiel, Shut Divrei Malkiel, 1847 to 1910 he lived. His name was Malkiel Tzvi Tannenbaum. He suggests that perhaps it's a printing mistake, because it's so outlandish to say that Sfiras HaOmer is literally it's all about time, is not something that is Zman Grama or not Zman Grama. But let's first look at the fact as to whether it even has legs to stand on. Because if Sefirah Sa'omer is a mitzvah that can only be done at night, then there's absolutely no way you could say it's a mitzvah that it's not a Zman Groma, right? You have to, in order to even think that the Ramban has anything to stand on, you have to say that there is a potential that Sefirah Sa'omer is a day and night mitzvah. Because if it's just a night mitzvah, then it's absolutely a Zman Groma, and there's no way to get out of it. So we see that there is actually, the Gemara Megillah discusses whether a Sefirah Sa'omer can be counted day or night. Let's look at the Ramban, we'll look at the Gemara first. And the Gemara in Megillah, let's see if I have the page. The Gemara says, it's a Mishnah. It goes through, Kala Yom Kosher L'Kriyas Megillah, and at the end, talks about things that have their certain time. And he says, Kala Laila Kosher, the Mishnah says, Kala Laila Kosher L'Ktziras Ha'omer, the whole night is a good time to be koitzer the omer, to cut the omer offering. And there is a similar Gemara in Menachos, Daf Ayin Aleph, I think, that says that you can also do the time for cutting the omer is kol alayla, but if you do it in the day, it's okay. So it seems from Menachos that it's a day and night situation. The Gemara Megillah seems to say that it's a night situation. Comes along Tosfos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, She'im Shachar LeBaruch B'Layla. If you forgot, now the Rabbeinu Tam, if you look, it's interesting. We're not talking about making brachos on counting. He's talking about giving the ktsiras ha'omer. But the Rambam jumps, the Tosfos jumps in straight into our practicalities of today, but regarding counting. You shouldn't make a bracha in the yom. Why? Because there's a stam mishnah over here in Megillah that says kol alayla. Kol alayla is the layla and not the day. The ikka stam. Are you going to tell me that there's ikka menachos? The Gemara menachos says that b'diavad you can do it in the day as well, right? Mikol makom. Stama the Hacha Adifa. The Gemara Megillah seems to be passing like the Gemara Megillah, not the Gemara Menachos. And then he adds on, and he goes, "I feel it. The Mandama the Machshik Sirah Oimer Biyoyim. Even going to tell me the Gemara Menachos says that you're allowed to cut the Oimer in the day. Moidaha Gabe Sfira. It was the Ben Tam's opinion that the Gabe Sfira the Ein Levarach Biyoyim. He'd be masking that the Sfira, the counting of the Oimer, doesn't have the same rules as the cutting of the Oimer. Why? Because there's a special addition to the counting." We have it, Tmimois. And Tmimois means that the counting has to be done in a completion, and the way to do completion is to do it at the beginning, and therefore in the Yom you'll be lacking in the Tmimois, and therefore you will not, you should not be allowed to count in the day with a Brocha. Now, it could be two reasons as to why you can't count in the day with a Brocha. Either because he holds Poshet, you can't, the mitzvah's not in the day at all. Or there is an element of mitzvah, but it's not the same as the Tmimois, and therefore it's not deserved of a Brocha. But it seems that according to the Tosfos that there is a potential that it is a mitzvah saseh shasman groma because it can only be done at night. Or it's definitely a less, there is a mitzvah in the day, but it's a little less that you don't make a bracha. If you look at the Rambam seems to argue, the Rambam holds that as we said, the Sefirah Sa'omer is a deraisa, and he says, shochach v'loy mona b'layla, moina b'yoyim. If you forget by night, you count in the day. So it seems to be clear from the Rambam that Sefirah Sa'omer is both day and night, and therefore we have a leg to stand on that it's not a time-bound mitzvah in as much that it can't be done at the daytime, and gives us a little bit more room how to deal with this Ramban that says that Sefirah Sa'omer, or at least lists Sefirah Sa'omer in one of the...
So why don't we say that each Sefirah, even if you can do it by day and by night, that's still time-bound? Because I've only got today to do 18. Yeah, last night till tonight. I'm stuck, yeah?
Oh,
I can't do 18 tomorrow,
yes.
I couldn't do 18
yesterday. Yeah, exactly, that's the big question. And more than that, even as a package, it can also only be done between Pesach and Shavuos, which is the same thing. You've just gone a micro of the macro. The problem is that even though within 24 hours it can be done, but Lamaisa, there is a very significant time when these things have to be, which is a good question. So let's see if we can... Pardon? Yeah, according to Rambam, it seems with a bracha. Yeah, but we don't. We pass in that no bracha in a day. Sophic, maybe, because maybe it's not. But, okay. So let's look at a few ways how we can deal with this. So there is the Rav Sadigon has a list of mitzvahs, and he talks about what's a Zman Groma and what's not a Zman Groma. And there is a commentary there by Rabbi Yerucham Fishel, and he gives us sort of an introduction to what we consider Zman Groma. And one of his main factors is that in order for something to be a Zman Groma, it has to be completely dictated by time. That what triggers this off is time. Right? 15th comes, yalla, we're building sukkahs. We're reading Megillah. We're eating matzah. That, what's the trigger? The time, the date, the calendar, the clock. Whereas Sfirat HaOmer has another trigger. It's the korban. The korban is what's triggering it. It's what is the trigger? If you didn't bring the korban, you can't start the counting. And therefore, potentially, even though there is time element to it, but it's not what the trigger is. And therefore, perhaps we can consider it, or at least the Ramban's understand that that's not, wouldn't be considered a mitzvah hasheh shashman groma. There is also the Sride Eish, Swiss Poisek, and I think I read somewhere that he taught at some point Rav Duna from Stanford. I could be, but he says something very interesting, and it's a bit nuanced, so maybe you can help me out to try and understand it. He says like this: some things, time comes along, and then you have to pull out your lulav and esrog. You can pull a lulav and esrog out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of any month, and nothing. The time needs to come along in order for this to happen. Chanukah menorah, you can pull it out whenever. Megillas Esther, you can pull it out whenever. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, it's not shut that the time is triggering you to count. The mitzvah is the counting. It's not that the time now makes you go and do a mitzvah. No. The time is the mitzvah. Perhaps that is a different category and doesn't give us the same effect as a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, and therefore you would explain maybe the Ramban's opinion why it's not mitzvah saseh shazman groma. The Aben Ezer says that Yetzias Mitzrayim on the second night, on the nights of Pesach, we know famously, Afein Hoi Ba'Oseines, they were also part of the Nes, and also they came Makish, and there's all reasons why the women have to keep all the mitzvahs on Seder night. Arba Kosis, leaning to the left, they're eating matzahs, they're eating maror. He says, basically, Pesach seems to be that the women are very much involved in the mitzvahs, and therefore, it goes without saying that Sfiras HaOmer, which is attached to Pesach, because it's Mimachros HaShabbos, which is the day, it's connected to the day before, so it's part and package of one big mitzvah, and therefore it makes sense that we would put it in. The only problem is that the Ramban doesn't say that it's connected. He says it's a mitzvah Seishas Mangrava. According to this pshat, it's not a mitzvah Seishas Mangrava. Not of us.
Because they were also in...
Yes, so he says we're going to... Yeah. It goes in the same opinions. Why we don't say this? Why we don't say Shechiyonu on Sfiras HaOmer? It's because we're saying Shechiyonu on all the on Pesach, so this sort of gets included within Pesach. So you're saying this is sort of included within Pesach, but I don't think it will help us for the Ramban, because the Ramban doesn't say that it's a mitzvah. So say no one argues that matzah is not a mitzvah shel Zman Groma. It is, but women still have to do it. Here, the Ramban seems to say that it's a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah shel Zman Groma, and therefore I'm not sure if the
why make a bracha on matzah
first? What? Yes, because that's a chiv that they have of Afen Obos and Nes. They were part of the miracle. All the mitzvahs of Pesach. They can't eat chametz, so they're eating matzah. But stamazo in stam mitzvahs, no, they will not make a bracha at all, which is. When they make all the mitzvahs. Now we only make, again for the similar reason, we only make a bracha. Svatim are very very machmor when it comes to brachas. So depending which way you look at it, glass half full, glass half empty. We'll make a bracha, the first gefen, and the one after benching, and all the other ones are right. All the other brachas of the two kais in between, we'll go on the bracha of the first one. They don't say another bracha in between. No, for the same reason, whenever it comes to Sophic bracha, if there's a question of a bracha, we're very, very cautious not to do it. So, to end off, Sikkum, mitzvah saseh, there is, obviously, the Sfiras HaOmer, according to most, is a mitzvah saseh, shazman groma, and therefore, women are not mechuyev. Ashkenazi women seem to have taken on to themselves to count the Sfira and to make a bracha. Sephardi women don't, and then usually they can shake lulav, and they do shake lulav without a bracha. But here, Here with the Al Pi Kabbalah, they're advised not to count even without a bracha, not to count bechlal. There is a Ramban that seems to say there are those that hold it might be a printing error. It seems to say that it is a mitzvah saseh she'ein as man groma, and with that we have a few reasons as to why. Have a wonderful day.
Shkoyah. Actually, you said about Miriam.
Yeah.
At my table, I'm not sure if you'll pass that.
Yeah.
We had a whole discussion. And apparently, and I was told, I thought to one person, they said that the Torah is
more.
They said the whole thing. The Torah is not going to.
And you can ask why I don't think that one. No.